الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليرح ذبيحته أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers These verses of the Quran-e-Majid which were recited in the introduction. These are verses of the Quran Sharif which we hear in every single khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah. In fact, we hear it also in the khutbah of the Eidain, Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr. These verses of the Quran Sharif are recited. The very fact that it is being repeated so often means there must be some very important message in these verses for it to be repeated so often. And we know that the Friday khutbah and the khutbah that is performed on the day of Eid, it is derived from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning it was a practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single action, every single statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nothing but divine revelation. Allah Ta'ala Himself mentions in the Quran Majeed, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. That, O Nabi of Allah, you do not speak from your desires. You do not speak. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. It is nothing but a revelation that is sent from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It is revealed from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Hence the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are all effectively directives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that these verses are being repeated over and over again means that there is a very important message continuously. That every single Jummah, every single khutbah, the Imam will recite it, we're going to hear it again. What does it mean? What is the message that Allah Ta'ala is conveying to us? We know that the Quran-e-Majeed ek peygham hai, it is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the makhluk, to his creation. It is a letter, so to say, from the creation, from the creator to the creation. A manual. This is the instruction manual. This is how you conduct your life in this world, in accordance to these rules and regulations, and by doing so, I will be pleased with you. I will be happy with you. You will be a recipient of my mercy and my blessings and my kindness. So Allah Ta'ala, in these verses, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرْ. That Allah Ta'ala enjoins, Allah Ta'ala commands. Allah is the Amir, and we are the Ma'mur. Allah is the one giving the instruction, and we are the one who are being instructed. In this we also understand the relationship that we have between ourselves and Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala is the master, and we are the servants, and we are the slaves. That when the person is the boss, he says, I'm telling you to do this. I am instructing you to do this. I am commanding you to do this. This shows the authority of the individual. So Allah Ta'ala is the Amir, Allah is the commander, Allah is the instructor, and we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to remind ourselves who we really are. Khaja Azizul Hassan Majub Rahmatullah Ali, he says, Tu barai bandagi hai ya darak. This is substantiated by the verses of the Quran Majeed, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we created man and jinn for our servitude. They are our servants. They are our bandas, they are our servants. Allah refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his servant. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. The Nabi of Allah being the abd of Allah Ta'ala, being the servant of Allah Ta'ala. So we are servants, we are slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Hence Allah Ta'ala is commanding and instructing. When the CEO of the company or the manager, the person who is managing us, if he comes and he says, I want you to do this. Now we don't say if and but why? Why must I do this? If we keep on asking why must I do this, then they will say, listen, are you the boss or am I the boss here? If you're not prepared to take instructions, then why you came to work here in the first place? The very fact that you came to work here means that you are willing to accept my instructions. The very fact that we claim to be Muslimin and we claim to be servants of Allah Ta'ala means we must be prepared to take instructions from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ. Allah is commanding. What is Allah Ta'ala commanding us to do? There is a sense of urgency in this as well. He's expecting you to comply immediately. He said, I'm telling you, I will need you to do this here. After 3 years, he said, no, I forgot. I gave you a clear instruction. So there is some level of urgency in this. That Allah is giving us an instruction. There is an urgency in it. We need to take it seriously. We have to regard it as something very important. If we have a list of priorities, people say, yeah, you need to prioritize. So in your list of priorities, this needs to go right to the top of Allah Ta'ala instructing us and commanding us to do with urgency. In Allah, Allah is instructing us. Justice. Fairness. That we must be just and we must be fair in everything that we do. In every matter that we do, there should be justice. Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran Majeed. كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. Allah Ta'ala says, be just and fair. Even if it means you are against your own relatives, the parents, one's family members. أو غنيا أو فقيرا, or the person is wealthy or is poor. Sometimes you find when the person has got money and now there's some decision that needs to be made. And now if it's going to go in favor of the poor person, now the person is concerned that if I make a pass a decision in favor of the poor person, then that wealthy person will no more give me money. I'm going to lose out. Or if I have to pass a verdict that will be against some relatives or family members, then they will become upset and enraged with me. So now Allah Ta'ala says, no, I am commanding you to be just and to be fair. In every matter that you do, a Muslim has to be just. He has to look at the merit of the case in front of him. He can't say that this is my brother. So because it's my brother, you know, I'm going to be impartial here. I'm going to pass a decision in favor of my brother. There are so many incidents in the history of Islam, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the life of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there was absolute justice. Famous incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a munafiq, a person who portrayed himself to be a Muslim but beneath the heart was no iman. He had a dispute with a Jewish person. And now this dispute was taken to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi listened to both sides of the story. The very fact that you're listening to both sides of the story means that you want to pass a judgment that is fair. Not that you only listen to one side and say, right, there's it, done. You are wrong. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi listened to both sides. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed a decision in favor of the Jewish person. Allah. Because he saw that in this particular case, the Jewish person was on the right and this munafiq and hypocrite was on the wrong. And there are so many. Shurahbil, who was the famous chief justice in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, when Ali radiallahu anhu was Amirul Mu'mineen, and he was the chief justice. And there was a armor that was found in the possession of a Jewish person. Ali radiallahu anhu laid claim that this is my armor. The matter was brought before Shurahbil. The Jewish person said, it's mine. So Shurahbil said, O Ali, O Amirul Mu'mineen, what evidence do you have to prove that this is yours? So he called forward his son, Hassan radiallahu anhu, or Hussein radiallahu anhu, one of the two of them. He called him forward. He said, well, he will bear testimony that this is mine. It was the opinion of Shurahbil at that time that evidence that was given by the son or the child in favor of the parent would not be accepted, because there is a high probability that there would be favoritism. So he refused to accept this. Ali radiallahu anhu said, well, I have no other evidence. He said, well, if that's the case, the fact that the Jewish person has got it in his possession, then you cannot provide any real credible evidence that it is yours, and therefore I am passing the verdict and decision that this now belongs to the Jewish person. Subhanallah, this Jewish person, on seeing this, he accepted Islam. He said, the reality is that this is, it does belong to Ali radiallahu anhu. But I've seen that there's such justice here, that just because this in itself shows the veracity and the truthfulness of the deen of Islam and the justice of the deen of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala commands us always to be just and fair. Today we'll find somebody passes us some information about Zaid, for example. We listen to that one side of the story, and today with social media, people are taken to court, people are, you know, they already, the verdict is passed, and the person is already dispatched to jail on the social media platform. They completely execute and destroy and slay the, they call it character assassination. They assassinate the character of the person on social media. And how you listen? He just listened to one side of the, she just listened to one side of the story, and she formulated her opinion with regards to that individual. And finish. Now she's already, you know, formed a certain label for this person and placed them. Now every time you look at that person, now you already got that in your mind that this person is so bad. What do I say? Hey, like this and he's like that. Finish. Whereas Islam says we need to listen to both sides. First of all, the best is we shouldn't bother about the matters of other people. We have so many important things in our lives to worry about. But we are so concerned about what that one is doing and what this one is doing. And you heard about what this one did. And you heard what that one did. And you heard about this person. And you heard about what he happened to his family. And you heard what happened to his business. And you heard how these people all resigned from his... But what's happening to our own little lives and our own little families, there we've become completely oblivious of what's happening. We don't realize that around our feet, our own homes and our own lives have been destroyed and are being destroyed. So learn to concentrate on what's happening in our own lives. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, "Min husni Islam al-mar'i, tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." From the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves out those things which do not really benefit him in any way. If the next person's business is not doing well or somebody resigned in his business, is that going to have any effect on your life? Is that going to benefit you or harm you in any way? That is his story, he will resolve it, he will sort it out. But you need to worry, we need to be concerned what's happening within our own lives. Our late Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that the person is worried about the fly that's sitting on the next person's nose, but he forgets about the python that's wrapped around his own neck. It's an expression, it's figurative, meaning that the person has got major problems in his own life, in his own personal life. There's major problems with his or his about that person. You know, he's not reading his du'as when he's entering the masjid, or he's not doing this here, or he's not doing that there. But we've forgotten about the major issues in our lives. So coming back to this point of justice, that we hear information from one side, and then we formulate an opinion with regards to an individual based on a one-sided information, this in itself is regarded as injustice. You're not being fair. If you really want to know what's the real story, and if you decide who this person is, and have an opinion with regards to Islam teaches, ظُنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا. Always harbor and hold good opinions with regards to every single person. By default, every single mu'min, we should have a good opinion. For after all, Allah has blessed him with iman. He has chosen the deen of Islam as his religion. He has chosen to worship one Allah. He has chosen to be an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that not sufficient evidence to prove that this person is good at heart? As to an individual, the very fact that he has chosen Islam as his deen, the very fact that he has chosen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his Nabi, is that not already a good signal to indicate that this person has got a good heart? Now the person will say, you know, he's going to this place here because, you know, he's a sellout. You know, so already we form these opinions. We have bad opinions. We're suspicious of every individual. Again, you come back to what we're saying. We should be suspicious of our own selves. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. We know the condition of our own selves. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah used to say that, O Salik, O the person who's traversing this path of reaching Allah Ta'ala, he says you should regard your nafs as a snake. A snake is a suspicious animal. Suspicious. If you have a snake in the garden, we're very suspicious that any time the snake will bite. He says you must regard your nafs, yourself, as a snake. That at any time this nafs can bite. The person was involved in some sin, in some guna. He was a drug addict, or he was always involved in casting lustful glances. He made some tawbah and istighfar. He should never trust his nafs. That at any time this nafs is going to come bite again. And then Jalaluddin, to digress, he gives a beautiful example, Rumi Rahmatullah Ali. He says that there was a person, he went to the mountain, in the Himalaya mountain. So there, winter time, the snow falls, it becomes very cold. Many of the animals go into hibernation. So this person found one huge python that was in hibernation. We know hibernation, the animals go to a the heart rate drops completely to a very low level. And they preserve their energy, this Allah Ta'ala system. They preserve their energy during the cold months. And when it warms up again, then they come back to life, so to say. So he picked up this huge python that was now in a state of hibernation. And he took this python and he wrapped it around his neck. And now he came down with all the, you know, with his head quite high, a sense of fulfillment and achievement. And he started boasting to the people of the thing around him, what a brave man, that he captured this huge python and he's got it around his neck. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi, by way of this example, he says, now the rays of the sun, because now he came down from the mountains, the rays of the sun began to fall onto the body of this python, and this warmth started entering the body of the python. And now this python began moving. He says the first person to run was the very person who caught the python. He ran for his life. In the same way, this nafs of ours, ourselves, our evil desires, our egos, we come to these programs, we month of Ramadan, we go for Umrah, we get it under control, it goes into a state of hibernation. But don't ever think that this nafs has died. It gets a little bit exposure to that sin again. You get introduced to those friends again who are taking drugs, and finish, the person gets caught. Life comes back in, and finish, the person loses everything. So if there's anything that we should be suspicious of, it should be our own selves. But today the condition is, we are very confident about ourselves, but we are suspicious of every single person around us. The person is suspicious of his neighbors, he's suspicious of his wife, the wife is suspicious of the husband, he's suspicious of the caretaker, he's suspicious of the helper in the home, he's suspicious of the government, the person is suspicious of the traffic officers. Every single person we are suspicious of. Even the Mauli sahab and the Imam sahab in the masjid, there too we are suspicious. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us. So we listen to this information and we become suspicious. Because we suffer from this sickness, and again, we are addressing ourselves first. We are not addressing any particular individual. This is a general collective weakness of the Ummah. Rasulullah said, "Dhunnu bil mu'mineena khayra," that harbor good opinions with regards to every single believer. Make an excuse for the person. That perhaps this is the reason why he's doing it. Perhaps the person missed his, the person is a ustad, or the person is a sheikh, or the person is a parent, then that is a different situation. So Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl." Allah Ta'ala instructs us to be just and to be fair. That when information comes to you from one side, verify it first. If it is so important that you really need to know, with regards to this person, then pick up the phone and say, "Brother, you know, I heard this information about you, and this is what I heard, people are saying this about you. I'd like to know, is it really true? That are you really a fraudster? Have you really done people down? Is it really true or not?" And if you cannot do that, then rather don't waste our time with holding any opinions of this nature. Leave it out completely. Focus on our lives. So Allah Ta'ala says that He commands us to be just in everything that we do. We are making a decision. Be just and be fair. Don't say that this person is my relative. He's my family. So I need to see him right. I need to look after him. This is against the teaching of Islam. And there are many, many examples in history where the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it may have been his own companion, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa looked at the matter at hand. It didn't concern him whether it is a relative, whether it is a companion. What are the facts in front of me? What is the reality? What is really in front? And based on this now, a decision will be made that needs to be absolutely fair. Allah Ta'ala commands us to be just and fair. One of the titles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Adil, the just. Hence it is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah, one of the names of the day of Qiyamah is Yawmul Adil, the day of justice. That in this world, if there was any form of oppression to the extent that that animal that had horns and used its horns to now injure a hornless animal, perhaps it was a goat or a sheep, Allah on the day of Qiyamah will turn the tables. And that animal now will be given the horns, and the horns will be removed from the latter. And Allah Ta'ala, hence Allah Ta'ala loves justice, and Allah enjoins us and commands us to be just. For those who have arrived now, it is that I recited over and over again in the khutbahs, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl," that Allah Ta'ala commands us Allah is the commander. Allah is giving us a urgent instruction and command that we must be just and fair in everything that we do. He has to be just with regards to each and every child. The person has multiple wives. Islam teaches you have to be just and fair and equitable with regards to the spending on one's spouses and one's wife. In the same way, the person has got, is managing some kind of a area or department in his business, he has to be fair and just in the manner in which he handles and manages that department. And then Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah Ta'ala instructs us and commands us with this quality of ihsan, which is such a broad quality. This word ihsan, loosely translated in Arabic, we could translate it as perhaps kindness. But it doesn't only stop at kindness. Every single good action can also be placed under the category of ihsan. Every single action which is regarded as praiseworthy, as meritorious, can fall under the category of ihsan. To the extent that Allah Ta'ala Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that mal ihsan, that what is ihsan? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That ihsan with regards to your ibadat, with regards to your worship, what will be regarded as praiseworthy in your worship? Praiseworthiness in your worship and your ibadah, whether it is your salah, whether it is discharging your zakat, whether it is being kind to people. What would be regarded as praiseworthy? That أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. That you do that action of worship in such a manner as if you are seeing Allah Ta'ala in front of you. As if you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Because if you cannot see Allah Ta'ala, then remember Allah can see you. Like how we have surveillance cameras, and the person is working in the place and he's being supervised by his manager, and the manager is looking on the cameras and watching him. And I've always got it in the back of the mind that I'm being monitored. There's surveillance. Everything I do, I'm being checked. And the person wants to do something, they're watching. They're watching in the cameras. I can't do this. So it stops him. The fat person, or that the person may be reported, that evidence, that footage can be used against the person, that in itself prevents the person from doing something inappropriate. And it drives the person to do that action in the best possible manner. So now when the person performs his salah with the quality of ihsan, he asks and says to himself that Allah is watching me. I am being watched by Allah Ta'ala. If Allah was watching me performing salah before him, my creator, my khaliq, my raziq, that being who brought me from non-existence into existence, that being who's causing my heart to beat, who's causing my blood to flow in the body, that being who causes my brains to function. So that Allah is watching now how I perform salah. And when the person has this in the back of his mind, the quality of the salah will change. It won't be that salah as they say, up, down, kiss the ground and back to town. The person performs his salah in such a way that he doesn't even know whether he's coming or going. We know the condition of our salah today. The person doesn't know sometimes whether he's performing asar or zohar. He's not sure. As one example, light-hearted note, the person is performing zohar namaz, imam sahab. So after the zohar salah, one musalli say, imam sahab, today you perform 3 rakats instead of 4. So imam sahab turned around, asked all the musallis, how many rakats? He said, we don't know. We're not sure. We just follow you. You say, Allah Akbar, we carry on. So everybody turned around to Allah. You have such khushu and khudu and concentration in your salah. So he said, asal baat to ye hai, the reality is this. That ke mere paas 4 dukaan hai. I got 4 shops. I got 4 shops. So normally every zohar namaz, I take stock of all my shops. So today I only reached the 3rd shop and you made salam. So I knew 100% you only read 3 rakats. This is the condition of our salah nowadays, that the person has got no devotion and concentration. And if we develop the quality of ihsan in our salah, that Allah is watching me. Now when a person performs a salah, he is watching me. If Allah is watching me, I don't need anyone to take pictures. Let's see how I'm giving the money here. See, I get the post of newspapers, post it on my status. And all my friends and family members must know, see, I gave 50 rand. I gave 50 rand to someone. If the person is doing it for Allah Ta'ala, that Allah is watching him, that the cameras, so to say, of Allah are focused on him, does he need any other cameras to be there? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to develop these two qualities. There are so many more qualities, and this quality of ihsan, we need to discuss it further. Inshallah, if Allah gives life in the next Jummah, we'll continue this discussion of ihsan. The two qualities we spoke about, Allah ta'ala, every single Jummah, He commands us and instructs us to develop the quality of justice, fairness, being equitable in everything that we do. Every matter that we do, we must be fair, we must be just. So Allah Ta'ala instructs us to be just. And the second quality, to develop the quality of ihsan in everything that we do. In this context, we spoke about ihsan, that we develop the quality of awareness that Allah is watching us in every single good deed that we do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to develop these qualities. And may Allah ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you.